What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Friday afternoon, July the 16th, after our conversation with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, back to listener email as we usually do. We get your email. We don't always have the time to respond to it email-wise, but we try to respond to it on the air whenever we can and when it's appropriate. Our email address, by the way, anybody wants to email us on any subject, and we do love to hear from our beloved on-demand listeners because they're often a couple weeks behind, and their emails usually pertain to something they've heard or that they want to hear on the program. talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Before we get to the email, and on the subject of the LCMS convention in Houston, a listener from the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
July 14th. We need to be thankful and have the steeple bells peal for the blessing of the event in Houston and the election of Pastor Matthew Harrison, as this is very momentous. At this hour, worldwide Lutheranism has been under the pall of doctrinal dissolution and synthesis and dissipation. Schwarmerei, new measures, and Orwellian liberal doublespeak. And Dr. Harrison has the pastoral and theological acuity to present Lutheranism in its true strain and also with a global perspective, that this is what truly needs to be awakened, not covered under a blanket of dissolution and loss of identity, because that is that the true gift and blessing and message of Lutheranism needs to prevail through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ alone, bought by the Holy Spirit, creating faith in the believer, not the measures of man or the dissolution of false doctrines. So we can be thankful that Pastor Harrison has had that election. He has a heavy job ahead of him, but it is also that we can say the Lord has brought mourning in Lutheranism again. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your comment. It's still sinking in for me, to tell you the truth. And I was spent a couple hours, actually about 4 hours on the road with my wife and my son this morning, and had some time to kind of think through all of this, because time does not permit real careful consideration of the momentous changes that have taken place in Houston, Texas, and talking it over with my wife. And, you know, there are too many question marks in my mind right now as to how all this is going to shake out. I mean, when and who and how and what, all those remain question marks. So it's difficult for the magnitude of this to sink in. I think Molly's right when she talks about it, as it's difficult to overestimate how big a change this really is. Now, changes at conventions are important, but that does not always reflect the change at the congregation level. In fact, it seldom does. And the political winds may blow this way or that, but in many ways, a lot of congregations in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will do what they darn well please, as they have for about 30 years now, doing as they darn well please. And so do we expect some sort of a new Missouri Synod to emerge here? No, but this is a step in the right direction, at least a leadership. And I'm talking now about leadership that is not only the president's office, but the boards that will serve the Synod, under its new structure and all those other places where people serve and are elected to do so, a leadership that is thinking about being and remaining Lutheran and feeling little need to ape evangelicalism for the sake of reaching the world. They realize and fully realize, because they know their history, that those who boldly and strongly confess the Lutheran faith have done a great job of reaching the world up to this point. It's only in the last 35, 40 years that someone convinced us that we weren't doing a good job, that somehow the pure gospel wasn't enough. And we had to resort to, as the commenter said, new measures. Well, you know, the founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod were well familiar with the dangers of the new measures in the age of revivalism. These things are nothing new. And so I think what we're doing is, here's what gives me confidence, Jeff. I'll just talk about Pastor Matt Harrison. What gives me confidence is this is a man who listens to his fathers and his grandfathers in the faith. He listens intently to them. He listens to them more than he listens to the conventional wisdom about what the church ought to do in this culture. He listens to them more than he listens to all the voices that say, no, 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 we know better now than they knew then. And that gives me a lot of confidence in at least the direction, if not the results. Only God brings about results, by the way. We can't guarantee results. That gives me a lot of confidence in the direction from this point forward, at least for the next couple of years.
You know, two things come to mind. I've been thinking about, to me, I feel the same way. It hasn't all sunk in, but two things come to mind. Do you remember when Chris Roseborough met us? It's about resurrecting issues, etc. Roseborough, Pirate Christian Radio.
I mean, this was like weeks after the show had been canceled, we'd been terminated. Yeah.
Of course, Chris is a businessman. He's like, you know, there's goals, objectives, and all those kinds of things. So what's your goal? And the first thing I said was, get Matt Harrison elected next president of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
And he looks at you like, okay.
We said, that's not the, you know, that's, you know, a goal is something, I think it's like, I could be wrong, but I think it's like something that's supposed to be like forever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was my goal.
He said something about being kind. I think he said something, well, that would be nice, but that's not really the kind of goal I was asking about. Well, we've made no bones about it. We brought the show back because we could hardly not do it with the kind of support that we were receiving. We brought it back because the listeners demanded that it happen. But I will admit, just as Jeff did, that a big part of the reason for bringing Issues Etc. back was to help, if we could, help effect that exact change. And we joked at the beginning, we didn't really care what happened after July of 2010. We were just going to stay on the air until then. And then after that, who knows? Although, I think we've kind of committed ourselves now.
The second thing, and we've mentioned this to the listener before, the last thing we said when David Strand fired us, I looked him in the eyes and I said, David, do you realize the heat that is going to occur? I said, are you sure about this? Because once we walk out that door, there's no turning back. David Strand, of course, is the executive director of the Board for Communication Services. He was our boss who fired us. And he said, yes, I expect to take a few, you know, complaints. Respond to a few complaints. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
You know, I don't know. I think the biggest favor we did, now President-elect Harrison was probably getting fired. That was the biggest favor we did them. And then we just kind of done our best to highlight the kind of changes that are needed in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod and the kind of person, just the right guy at the right time, who had the promise of being able to at least kind of get our heads screwed back on the right way as a Lutheran church body, daring to be and remain Lutheran. Let's go to the phones in Kimberlin City, Missouri. Richard's on the line. Hi, Richard.
Well, hello. I just wanted to call in because you all are talking about the convention and just, I mean, I'm truly elated by what has taken place in Houston. I never thought it would happen.
Neither did I.
But, you know, from my perspective as a pastor, what I find truly joyous is, I mean, I honestly thought probably within 10 years the direction the Synod was going, that I would get booted out or forced to leave or toe the line and be unfaithful to my ordination vows. I mean, these were things that were swirling in my head. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but that was what I was feeling and thinking. And now I see, I now basically our synod has said, look, enough of this nonsense. We're supposed to be Lutheran. Let's try to be that. And so, in a sense, for me, I'm like, hey, I'm not the only pastor out here trying to be faithful to my ordination vows. There's scads of us. It's just that we've been ignored and told to sit in the corner and be quiet while, you know, the synod moves in a direction that's really effective. So, you know, so I really like this change in direction. I think it's what needed to take place.
Richard, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Cumberland City out there in Missouri. I mean, I couldn't have said it better there. I did not expect this to happen. Look, I've made every preparation to not be a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the near future. And not because I was planning to go anyplace. I was actually planning on staying until I got kicked out, which I didn't know if or when that would happen, but I made every preparation. I pulled myself out of the retirement program. I pulled myself out of the healthcare program. I made sure that I had a pretty decent living out doing something else, and fully expected that were the convention to have gone the other direction here with the restructuring, that it was going to be more and more difficult with every passing year to remain. Of course, my plan was to stay until – I think that's a good plan, always stay until they kick you out. And part of this all sinking in for me is thinking, well, okay, there's kind of been a little bit of a reprieve on that. Maybe all these earnest plans and preparations I was making were at the very least premature. Or maybe they'll serve some other purpose in the near future. Who knows? But people will say, and I think this is a legitimate question to ask, are you saying that the election of one man changes everything? My answer to that is absolutely not. What changes everything? God's word. Well, now we've got leadership that are willing to listen to it and promulgate it rather than the ideas of men. That's a big change. We'll be right back.
If you come, I will answer. If you follow, I'll pick you up.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Yet another woman has died from a so-called safe and legal abortion, this time in New York. Ironically, the botched abortion happened at a place called A1 Women's Care. The victim, Alexandra Nunez, was a Hispanic woman, the mother of 4 living children. The 5th died with her. It's reported the abortionist severed one of her arteries, and Alexandra went into cardiac arrest and died at Elmhurst Hospital. During a phone inquiry from the media, one of the abortion mill staff feebly tried to absolve the killing center, saying, "She didn't die at the clinic. Nothing happened here." I strongly disagree. A woman is dead. Obviously, something very wrong happened there besides the usual killing of innocent unborn babies.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon, July the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. After some more listener email and the comment line, Issues Etc. blog of the week. Jeff has his pick. I have mine. And then we're devoting the entire second hour of this Friday to conclusions. And it's going to be a big conclusion. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt has been with us for the last 4 days on this fifth day of our series with him on Christ Alone. We're going to be talking about Christ Alone and the pastor, and we're devoting the entire hour to that conclusion. So we can also take your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. That conclusion coming up in the second hour of the program. Here's another listener from our comment line.
This is Paul in Milwaukee. In 1840, William Henry Harrison, the hero of Tippecanoe, was elected president of the United States, in part by one of the first American campaign songs, a modified version of which follows regarding the second recent Houston convention. Now, confessors in the current election have carried their candidate through. They've made the judicious selection of H-Son and Herb Mueller, too. They say that he runs human care in black and that he banjos and smokes, too. Well, good if he does, I am certain. He's the mega-pastor of Houston, too. The Sonaticrats are packing their boxes as business prospects turn blue. Not wishing to give up corner office, they may slidle to Mega Houston, too. So let us be up and a-doing and cling to unaltered org so true. The Monday rules, we will weed them with the Mega P of Houston, too. Thanks for enduring.
Well, thank you very much, Paul, and thanks for listening in Milwaukee and for the song. We often say smartest listeners in radio, apparently, at least in Milwaukee. Also, most creative listeners in radio as well. Let's go to the phones in St. Louis. Millie is on the line. Hi, Millie.
Hi. Just want to say, you know, one of your other previous callers saying, there was a pastor, I believe, like they were backed in the corner and keep quiet. But, you know, you can't keep quiet. If you don't, you're not a... you know, stand up for Jesus, right? Right. But I want to tell you that I hope that somebody that's out west, that they were contemplating, too, to leave Missouri Synod, things didn't change. And I'm going to tell you, he was a staunch worker in the church, very staunch. So I sure hope he changes his mind because of the way things are going. And his father had brought back with J.O. Price and Dr. Hoffman from Emmanuel Olivet and a few others, they saved Missouri Synod back there when the Seminex thing. Okay?
Millie, thank you very much. Well, a little bit of history there as well. Look, there are, I don't know of anyone who's seriously considering leaving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I speak only from personal experience, don't know of anyone who's seriously considering leaving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on one election. But there were many of us who were saying, how long will we still be in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the way that elections and the direction of the theological and practical direction of the synod was going? Now, will all that change in one fell swoop? Absolutely not. But as I said before, it is nice to have a president who listens to his fathers and his grandfathers and who considers the Word of God more relevant than the best advice he can get from expensive consultants. I can't say it any other way.
You know, in defense of the pastor from Missouri that called in earlier, he wasn't saying he wasn't going to speak up.
Oh,
it
no,
was just
no.
His speaking up was being marginalized. It was like, shut up and go in a corner like we were told at LCMS Inc. Okay, Wilkin and Chores, do the...
Here are the crayons.
What do you call it? The head bob. Yeah. And then now here's the paper and your crayons. Now go in the corner and shut up. Mm-hmm. That's what
I know exactly what that pastor's talking about.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
When he said that, that's exactly what I thought of. Numerous synodical meetings. Here's an email. And the person did stress that it's not necessarily for broadcast, so I'm not going to mention his or her name or where they're from, but I think he's got a criticism that other listeners share, so we're going to read it. I love you guys and your program. I'm a daily iTunes listener and learn a lot. I include your weekly bulletin blurbs in our church's bulletin. As a pastor, Issues Etc. is part continuing education and part theological review of current events. My only request is to give it a rest with KFUO, that of course our former employer. Just let them be. I haven't yet listened to the pastor's roundtable on the Eighth Commandment, and I understand factors of rebuke or warning may also come into play. I just can't think of any other single entity within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that receives a similar amount of criticism from your show. I just think that KFUO winds up in your crosshairs more than is necessary. Many of your listeners are already itching to speak against them. Let's not make it too easy to hurt the reputation of our fellow Christians, writes this listener. Thanks for the email and the criticism.
Well, yes, and I think this is a very valid thing to raise because he is quite right. Probably more than any other single entity, our former employer KFUO AM, does end up in our crosshairs occasionally. And I would say about half the time it's just in fun. It's just our, what is it? I don't know if you'd call it gallows humor. It's just kind of the humor that we engage in. And so most of it is maybe poking fun, really genuinely just fun. Now, there is valid criticism. You are quite right. And there's a reason for it. And it is, some would say, well, it's just sour grapes or you're disgruntled former employees. Look, we are not disgruntled. We are former employees, but we're not disgruntled. We are very happy to no longer be working there. We really, truly are. Okay, so that... That doesn't come into this. There's some frustration. There really is. You don't stop caring about an institution, even though the institution tells you to hit the bricks. You don't stop caring about it. And I've said it of both me and Jeff many times. We're just not going to get KFUO AM out of our bloodstream anytime soon. He worked there for 15 plus years, and I worked there for almost 10 years. And you become deeply invested in a place. And then when you see it failing to live up to its real potential and kind of being mismanaged and wandering hither and yon in its programming direction and then finally adopting kind of a generally contemporary Christian music format, especially when they have just been met with some real competition in that particular format with the sale of Classic 99 KFUO FM to Joy FM in the St. Louis market. Now contemporary Christian music has a 100,000-watt 24-hour-a-day signal. And for a 5,000-watt AM station, dawn to dusk, to adopt a similar format and think that they can compete just doesn't make a lot of sense to us. It's frustrating to see it not being what it could be. We care about the people there, and it could be so much more. That is the source of our criticism. It's some frustration with how, well, to be honest, we just don't want to see it go the way of KFUO FM when it was sold. Now, I supported that sale because of the fiscal reasons and because of the way that KFUO as an organization basically put all its priorities in the FM side and very little in the AM side. And that frustrated us, and it continues to frustrate us, and we still care about the institution. We'd like to see it be what it could be.
Agreed.
Anything to add?
Agreed. Other than something you sent me this morning from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Oh, you mean the report that the Classic 99 only decided to stream classical music, continue streaming classical music on its website the day that they went off the air?
Yes.
What frustrated you about
that? Well, what frustrates me about that was they should have been promoting that the day that the sale took place, not even the switchover. They should have been promoting that. Hey,
months
you can
ago.
Still listen to Classic 99 at classic99.com. And people outside of the St. Louis area, can that's the only way they can listen to it because it's a St. Louis radio station. How in the world can you...
We were talking about it here, and we're not smart guys. We are really not that smart. But we were saying, why don't they just say, hey, we're going to remain on the web. We'll have a web presence maybe someday back again in terrestrial radio, but we're still here on the web for you all over the world. Why weren't they saying that? Why weren't they using their 100,000-watt signal 24 hours a day to pre-advertise their continued presence on the internet.
Yeah, to tell people
why not?
That, hey, we're going to be gone on 99.1 FM, but you can continue to listen to all your favorite classical music at classic99.com.
And here's the deal. Somebody else, in their failure to do that, somebody else in the St. Louis market swooped in and started doing it. KWMU said, all right, we got an HD channel, we got a website, here we go, streaming live classical music for St. Louis if you got an HD tuner. And they were thinking that far ahead. I just don't understand how the management at KFUO wasn't, or if they were, how they couldn't get it done. It's again, what you're hearing here, folks, and especially to the emailer, it's hard to get a place like that out of your bloodstream. You still care about the institution, about what it could be. KFUO AM is 85 plus years old. It's the oldest continuously operating Christian radio station in the world. And to hear it devoted largely to kind of a poor man's version of contemporary Christian music in this day and age, when a bold confession of the Reformation and its theology is really, truly called for, to hear it being devoted to basically kind of the poor man's version of contemporary Christian music is just a shame. With an 85-year history of being the oldest continuously operating Christian radio station in the world, here in the 21st century, we really, truly can do better. And honestly, I speak complete honesty. Jeff and I, as much as we joke around about KFUO AM, we want it to do and be better in that sense. We really, truly, it is something that has great potential. We just like to see it live up to it. When we come back, a little bit more of your email, and then we're going to pick Issues Etc. blog of the week on this Friday afternoon, July the 16th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC. I failed to mention, we've already played two comments from the Issues Etc. comment line, and I failed to mention the comment line number for the rest of you, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. That's the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You know, I should mention that Craig, who is our director of business operations and is ordinarily running the boards for us when we're on the air, he's out of town. He's having some fun with friends out on a float trip. I believe it's the kind of the annual Feitinger float trip. And that leaves Jeff entirely by himself there in the control room, pushing buttons, making sure everything's going, and he hates it. He just absolutely—I mean, he does it, and he does it competently, but it really is difficult for him. And he's in there all by himself, sans Craig, and I think doing a great job, with the exception of the little mishap that no one noticed going into the last break. No one is going to notice that anyway, so I think it's a—I mean, he should be commended. Now, you had one other thing you wanted to say about KFUO AM.
Yeah, a couple things. Number one, in case people aren't familiar with it, it's not that they're all contemporary Christian music. There's a lot of talk, and there's some really good talk programs on KFUO AM. So it's not just a contemporary Christian music station. But why, since Classic 99, we're told, KFUO FM, sister station, which the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod sold to a contemporary Christian music outfit, we're told that KFUO-FM has such a large listening audience. Why are they not playing that music on KFUO-AM and transferring that audience, this allegedly huge audience, to the AM side? Now, the objection might be, well,
it's AM.
It's AM, the fidelity. People listen to classical music, want stereo quality, hi-fi fidelity. The reality is most of Classic 99 KFUO-FM's audience is 60+. They don't have the hearing of 20-year-olds. They will have no problem listening to 850 AM to classical music on the AM band.
Well, and I think the proof of that is a very successful oldie station in the St. Louis market on the AM side plays these oldies, and it's very successful, and nobody complains about the fidelity of their sound. They're happy with that. They own the music library, don't they? Yes, they own the music library. They have the ability, probably the flip of a switch, to change that format, because it's all there in the computers. It's all ready to go. It's all cataloged. There it is. It's a good question. Why not classical music, especially when they've argued for years that KFUO-FM with classical music had this enormous audience? It's a great question to ask.
Here's a question from Paul. Dr. Reed Lessing of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis noted that the Hebrew word for remember connotes not thinking about something that happened in the past, but making that an event, a reality present with us now. Would this be an appropriate way to view the word remember in Christ's words of institution, writes Paul?
It's a good question. First of all, there's a peculiar grammatical structure there in those familiar words, do this in remembrance of me. And it goes straight to the question of the emailer. If we were going to be wooden in our translation, we would read it, do this for my remembrance, which is ambiguous. Does that mean Jesus wants us to remember him, or that he actually engages in the remembrance of which he speaks? Well, let's just put it this way. I think that if we understand the Lord's Supper for how Jesus presents it and institutes it in the New Testament, it's his supper, it's his promise, it is his word that makes it what it is, that we really shouldn't have any problem with putting the emphasis of remembrance upon him. That is, it is also, he is primarily the one who does the remembering. Do we remember? Yes. But those who take the Lord's Supper to be a mere memorial meal miss the entire thrust of the Lord's Supper. It is Christ's word, it's Christ's promise, it's Christ's supper, and it is he who remembers us. And in that sense, yes, in answer to your question, it is a remembrance that brings a reality. What's the reality that Christ remembering us sinners brings to us in the Lord's Supper? The reality of his death and his resurrection for us. It brings it to us. It's not our remembering that makes it real. It's his word, his promise, his supper, his remembering that makes it real.